Hey there, fabulous teacher. Have you been wondering how to make writing time in your classroom more effective for your students? Do you want your students to love writing time? If so, I think it's time for you and I to start transforming your writing instruction. I'm Melissa Morrison, and I have a passion for helping teachers to feel confident in teaching writing and help them grow successful writers. I've worked with numerous teachers to guide them through this transformation, and in this podcast, I bring you the practical strategies you need to make writing the best time of your day. Let's get going.
Well, hello there. Welcome. Thank you for joining me again. Today, I have been inspired by a keynote that I listened to a little while ago. So I guess I was inspired before, but I'm going to share it with you now. And it was from Mr. Eduardo Briceño, and he has written the book called The Performance Paradox, Turning the Power of Mindset into Action. He is a co-founder of Mindset Works, the CEO of Growth.How, and he is a keynote speaker. He was extremely empowering and just helpful and eye-opening. And I wanted to be able to share this with as many teachers as I could. And it's something that I really took in because I think it will help the teachers that I work with in classrooms as well. But it's going to help all of us. So I wanted to share some things about that today. So the reason this really resonated with me so much and why I think it's so important is that what I have found when I'm working with teachers who are switching over from the way they're teaching writing or you know, even if they're doing a lot of the things that I talk about, but we're still adding in one or two new techniques or ideas, teachers tend to be pretty type A or perfectionist, not all, but many. And even if you aren't, you really just want to get things right, right? You want to do your job well. And I've just found that teachers that I've worked with have not given themselves any slack, you know, and they want to do everything right away. And you can't. You just can't do that. You can't be learning something new and know all of it from the beginning and expect yourself to be able to hit all the goals that you want with your students. And I always go back to this sports example. And I talk about students not being able to do everything at once, but it's the same thing with teachers. So if you imagine, even imagine yourself as a new coach. So let's say they had no one else to coach the baseball team or soccer team or whatever it might be, and you've never coached it before. Maybe you don't even have much experience with it other than watching it, or maybe you played it once when you were little, and you're going to be this new coach because they have no one else. Well, you know that you're not going to take a team that is just getting started with this. You know, let's say they're 6 years old and they're just learning. You're not going to turn them into state champions in your first season of coaching this sport because you don't have the capability. You don't have the knowledge. And maybe no one could, but I'm just saying, for an example, you wouldn't be able to go in there with so much to learn and be able to meet every player's needs to improve them or grow them to the point of mastering the game, right? You're going to go in and you're going to have to figure out what's going on. You're going to have to figure out how to run a practice. You're going to figure out some of the skills that you need to teach them. You're going to start with some basics and you're going to see how things are going. And then it's going to get better. Everything will get better because you'll learn more and they'll learn more. But you're not going to do as good of a job as a coach who's been coaching for years. You just won't. So when you are, you know, I bring to teachers oftentimes, something about what I'm bringing to them is very new. And most often, I'm completely changing the way they're teaching writing. And they still want to be able to see that every student is performing to a certain point, right? I just know I'm not getting where I need to get with this student, or I'm not hitting this student. Well, no, you're not. And that's okay, because you're just starting this out. And I know you only have these kids for a year and you want to do as much as you can. And I have been there before. But you have to accept sometimes that it's your learning year. I can remember my first year of teaching, you know, and people would say, you're not going to be great this year. You're just not. And I'm like, yes, I am. I am awesome. I am going to be the best first year teacher ever. But then it took me a couple years to realize, I actually have a lot to learn, you know? And it's a good thing to go in that way. But you also have to know that you do have things to learn, right? And I think I did know that, and I tried to learn from others for sure. But you just don't want to accept that you're not great at something yet. But we have to accept that. And this is where this speech, and, you know, I would love to get this book and read it. I have not yet. So I'm just going to be sharing some things that I'm finding from his website. But I did listen to the keynote, obviously. And but that's why I think this is so important, because we, in every area of our lives, but especially for me and the work I do with teachers and for what I'm sharing with you here on the podcast, I want you to know that you have to allow yourself to not be in the performance zone at times. So let me tell you a little bit more about what this book is all about and what I learned in this keynote that I listened to. So let me just share, though, what my biggest takeaway was. And it was that when he said, you can't improve without change, but change doesn't happen in the performance zone. Okay, so think about that. When you're performing, so if you're teaching and you're trying to be the best and you're trying to not make any mistakes, are you ever changing? Are you ever allowing yourself to try something? Now, there's reasons why you might not want to do that, and we'll talk about that. But that's what stood out the most, and then it has to do with everything else that I heard. So let me just go to the website and some things that he had about the book here. So it starts with chronic performance. Too many of us are stuck in chronic performance, which is the constant focus on getting things done as best as we know how, trying to minimize mistakes. We think this is the way to improve, but instead it stagnates us. The performance zone, which is when we do things as best as we know how, is a critical part of our lives. It's how we get things done and how we contribute. But too many of us stay in the zone all the time, which ironically lowers our performance. And it makes sense, but we don't think about it, right? We don't think about that, but it so makes sense. Because imagine this team that you're coaching, if they only ever played games. That's it. Are they growing? Are they learning? Are they trying different things? No. They couldn't, right? They have to have the practice time, which is where it's not high stakes, which is where people aren't watching, except all the parents that stay for practice, you know. It's where they're learning something and trying it, practicing, right? But then they get to the game, I was going to say zone, and they're performing again. They can't stay there all the time. They won't grow, right? And it's the same for us, the same for our students, and it's the same for us. So then he talks about the learning zone. The learning zone is when we leap beyond the known, which is different than doing things as best as we know how. It's filled with curiosity, experimentation, and change. To grow and reach higher levels of performance, we need to habituate this zone. You have to be in it. Now, I mentioned a little bit before about how there are reasons why we don't want to do that. Well, we're in, you know, school, we're teaching, we're in our class. We want to do well for our kids, clearly. And when are we supposed to practice? Because we're always teaching them, right? So it almost feels like we don't have that opportunity. Now, this is where coaching is helpful, because it makes you go into that zone. You know, we're there and saying, hey, we got to try this out. Give it a spin. I'm right here. So that's really helpful. But it's also helpful for leaders to realize that they need to provide opportunities for low stakes, letting teachers know we're just trying this. We know it's not going to go great. We might even see a dip in some performance of students. Or, you know, when I come in and you're working on whatever it might be that you guys are implementing, and let's say it's writing, I know it's not going to be perfect. I don't expect that. I just want to know where people are. I want to see what you're doing, right? And so it has to come from leadership, has to come from us and from us telling ourselves, look, I just started this. It's okay. You know, we need to model what we try to preach to our students, telling them it's okay, you're learning, when they really don't want to do that either, you know? So I understand it being difficult. And there might be things that need to happen or change in your environment or in your school that make you feel more willing to be in the learning zone. he also talks about the power of mistakes. So mistakes are not all created equal. Some are more desirable and lead to greater learning, while others are best avoided when possible. Rather than label all mistakes as good or bad, differentiate the four kinds of mistakes. And I know he talks about them in the book. He also says, and it's his titled Learning Myths, when a growth mindset is misunderstood, ineffective attempts to foster it follow. Uncover the most common and problematic misconceptions about growth mindset so that you can overcome the performance paradox and unleash growth. And he talks to the idea of the growth propeller and says it depicts the five key elements we need to develop in ourselves if we want to become top learners and performers. So I know he's going to talk about that as well. So it does have to do with mindset. You can't have a fixed mindset. You have to be willing and understanding that you can grow, yet you have to put yourself in this zone, this learning zone, in order to grow, in order to make changes. And so I want you to think about what can help you to do that. So if you do have a worry or fear that when admin comes in to observe you, they see something and it's not going well and it's going, you know, you're worried that that's going to look bad for you. If that's an issue, perhaps you need to talk to them about that. If you just don't do well with not being great at something, that's something you need to talk to yourself about. Like, if I want to get better, I have to let myself be in the learning zone, right? He told us you cannot make change. You can't improve without change. And he's telling us that change doesn't happen in the performance zone. We can't be constantly at high stakes and performing. It's just not going to work. So you have to let yourself know that it's okay that I'm just starting this, and maybe give yourself goals. I like to do that when I first get started with transforming writing instruction. And we always start with trying to allow students to be independent, letting them write on their own where they are, make their choices, you know, see what they can do. Not only does that open your eyes to what you've been trying to get your students to do, because now you see what they're capable of doing on their own, but it's just the first step in this whole writing process, and then also making writing authentic. So part of it is that they get to write on their own and choose their own things, right? But it's also, are we really writing, are they doing writing projects or writing pieces that they see in the real world? Can we try to make it more connected to real life for whatever they might be seeing? So it's depending on the age level. But for example, in the younger grades, they read picture books, they watch commercials, you know, they sing songs, all those things can be happening. And then as they get older, they start to see different things and they're able to do those things as well. So that's the first thing we work on, is making it authentic and independent. That's the first goal. And so when teachers know that their job right now or during that time is not to teach them, and that's true, I'm not really asking them to teach them anything, because they're not ready to teach them until they know where they are, and the students have to be engaged. That's just all there is to it. So when you have goals and you say, okay, I'm not going to be able to make this happen, but this is what I'm trying to make happen. And so that's what you're focused on. That's what you are telling yourself, so that you are okay with not getting to that other place, you know, of, you know, I can't come in and start having them change the way kids are writing and then also say, okay, we're also going to learn how to do a research decide teach conference, and we're going to do mini lessons, and we're going to do this, then this, and this. It can't happen. Just like you can't have that happen with your students. So teacher, this is what I want you to do. I want you to give yourself grace. Let yourself be in the learning zone sometimes. And maybe a lot of times when it comes to this, trying to change your writing instruction. I want you to pick a goal. Set a goal. If you're not sure what that first goal could be, other than what I just talked about, ask me. Reach out. I would love to hear from you. I would love to help you. So set yourself a little goal and be okay with that. Be okay with that being what you can do. And if you need to speak to either other teachers or to administration, school leaders, do that. Let them know, I'm trying something and I'm just kind of worried that if you come in and you see it's a mess, you know, as long as it's something that they're okay with you doing, hopefully they will be, then they should be supportive of that. I know sometimes we're afraid to let our admin know that we might not be doing so well in something, but I've never seen anyone look at it like that. Like, oh gosh, what are we doing with this teacher? No, because it's so wonderful that you want to learn and grow, and this is the way for you to do it. All right. Thanks so much for listening and have a great day. Hey again, I am so happy to have had you listen in again today. I would like to ask a little favor. If you're enjoying the podcast, could you take a moment to go wherever it is that you listen and write a review and tell others what you find so great about these episodes? I would love to be able to share it with more teachers to help them in their writing instruction, just as hopefully I've been helping you. Thank you so much.